This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Get everything you need to bet the madness this year. 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, and our tournament betting guide, including advice, data, and strategy. It's all $19. This isn't going to last, so make sure you check it out. It's VSiN.com/madness. So whether you're filling out the bracket or betting against the spread, our team is here to get you ready for every game and every round of the tournament. Get analysis from our experts, Greg Peterson, Matt Eumanns, Jonathan Von Tobel, and Tim Murray. They've got insights on every key team, conference, and player to watch, from favorites to potential Cinderellas. You can sign up right now. Sign up today to get the betting guide, plus full access to VSiN through April 5th, all for $19 at vsin.com/madness. Okay, as we welcome you back here, of course, conference tournaments continue on a Friday, this March 11th. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi in New Jersey. Just quickly, it looks like Indiana has taken the lead, so this was huge. Illinois open 3.5, close 6.5, Michael. Indiana, you know, whether or not they need to win, we can debate that. But if they win, they're going to be in the dance. If they beat Illinois today, they're going to be good to go. Played great defense yesterday against Michigan. Michigan fell apart. But a 47-42 lead right now for Indiana.
Yeah, after almost 30 minutes of basketball, they've held Illinois to 42 points. I mean, they're the best defense in the Big Ten. And I mean, it shows up, and defense carries you. And if you can make free throws and play great defense, it's a pretty good recipe towards advancing in the tournament. So, you know, I think what I read this morning is they're going to be one of the first four, the last four in, which I think certainly by beating Michigan. Again, I don't know what's the difference, why Michigan is ranked ahead of them, especially since they just beat Michigan.
Yeah, to give you an idea, Lenardi has got Michigan and Indiana both in, and then Jerry Palm has them both out. So to give you an idea of what how topsy-turvy this has been, quickly on A&M and Auburn, then we'll get to Khalil Mack here on a Friday edition of the Lombardi Line. You've got a 16-point lead for Buzz and A&M. I want to get the second half number. I mean, that's impressive to come out that way against Auburn. Now, Auburn doesn't need it. We get it. But this is great for A&M.
It really is. And I mean, you know, coming off an emotional overtime game against Florida, but they were in the same situation yesterday when we were on the air against Florida. They had the big lead and let Florida get back in it and get the game to overtime. And they were fortunate to make that shot, the three-point shot, the top of the key to win the game for him with no time on the clock. So, look, this is a resilient team, and he's done a tremendous job of keeping their focus on the task and staying in the moment and fighting through the eight-game losing streak and bouncing their team back. So, you know, I mean, hats off to him. This is one of the best coaching jobs I think we've seen in college basketball this year, the emergence of A&M.
Yeah, Buzz has done a hell of a job. They're up 16 at the break. Second half number, Auburn laying 9.5. So we shall see. Okay, let's get to the news. As you know, I didn't even hear any inkling that Khalil Mack was being offered. I'm sure you had, but he has been moved. Khalil Mack, the Bear, is now a Charger, and he gets shipped to the Chargers. The Bears, in return, get a 2022 second rounder and a sixth round pick next year. I'm excited to get your take on this. What were your thoughts?
Well, I think this is a lot to do with contract, too, right? I mean, he had a lot of money, none of it guaranteed coming to him in the next 3 years. And the Bears have taken on the largest cap hit of any player in the cap era outside of a quarterback, right? So the Bears had watched this player the last 3 years, and you could just see it wasn't the same juice on the tape. You know, was he a good player? Yeah, he was a good player. He had six sacks in seven games. I don't think he hit the quarterback as often as he typically would have done. But, you know, when you look at his first 4 years with the Raiders, you know, he was really an incredible, incredible player, you know, in the first 4 years of the Raiders. Had 40 and a half sacks during those first 4 years. When he went to since Chicago, he's got 36. In the last 3 years, he hasn't had double-digit sacks. And what concerns you more than that are the hits on the quarterback. That's really, we focus way too much on sacks. A guy like Mack, it's got to be, does the ball come out? Does he get the ball out a second early? Does he make the quarterback feel his presence? Is he there? Is he around them? And I got to get rid of this football. Sacks are a reflection of the coverage or that. But pressure, ball out early. And I think when you watched him play, it wasn't the same, and it certainly didn't match the money that they are going to have to pay him over the next 3 years. And I think what you're going to see from the Bears is more of a recalibration of their roster. I mean, the last thing you want to be, as we mentioned yesterday, is a bad team without cap room. And, you know, now that they can they're going to get rid of some of these high cap numbers from players like Tariq Cohen. I mean, that was one of the worst contracts ever. He's a specialty player who you have to put him on the field. Everybody's screaming, screen and draw. He's getting the ball reverse. Watch the reverse. And you go and pay him money because you drafted him. And I think they're trying to clean up the Ryan Pace administration in Chicago.
Were you surprised at the load that came back? Some thought light, but as you just mentioned, he's 31 years.
It is light.
You did think it was light.
Well, I mean, it's light in this sense. It shows you there was no market. I tweeted that yesterday, that the market was, who wants this contract? There's so many players available right now that we're going to continue to see drafts, but a lot of them are wrapped around bad contracts. And I think when you're the Chargers, if you look at it from their point of view, you know, you could say to Mac, look, Bosa gets doubled. He gets most of the attention. You know, we've got good inside tackles. You're going to be on an island quite a bit. And I think we can free you up a little bit. We can give you a chance to kind of recalibrate your career. Now, they did that last year with Robert Quinn. Robert Quinn was a better pass rusher for the Bears than Mac was last year. Quinn did a tremendous job. I mean, the year before, he was horrible. But I do think that this kind of new life, playing in the turf on a fast track, I think certainly across from Bosa gives them some light. But it's an awful rich contract. I think they're going to pay. If I were them, I would just take the contract, let him see where he plays for 1 year, how he plays, and then make a decision on him next year. A 2 and a 6, to me, lower in the draft, gives you a chance. That's typically not what elite pass rushers go for.
And this is what playing on a rookie deal at quarterback can do for you. So I got a cap number of Mac at almost $18 million, which is, as you mentioned. But the Chargers have extended Mike Williams. They trade for Mac. But they're actually still in pretty good shape cap-wise, Michael.
Great shape, yep. And they've got to continue to really improve this football team, and they've got to be able to continue to work around it. They'll take his deal on, right? And, you know, they'll absorb some of that. But I think when you break it down, you know, if they want to redo the deal, they can certainly lower the cap number. But I think what they've been able to do is that they're paying him a base salary of $12 million. And then he's got a $5 million roster and 200 workouts. So it's really not that bad of a deal. You know, he comes in at $17 million. And if he's worth it, they got Bulaga on that cap now, you know, at $14 million. He didn't play most of the year. So they've got a lot of flexibility. And again, all through this flexibility, you know, in the back of your mind, I got to extend Herbert. I got to pay Herbert. And now that, you know, whatever the Rodgers contracts, and I've heard $50 million, I don't think it's come through yet. Whatever he's,
no,
if he's
I don't
even
think so
signed
either.
A contract,
no.
You know, but it is going to be at $50 million. I mean, I've heard 4 year, $200 million. I think there's no doubt that that's where it's going to be. That's what we've been saying all along. So once that comes in, that's going to set the bar for more quarterbacks.
So here's a – this is the way I'll paint it for you. Was Gruden right all along? Now, they didn't – they misused the picks that they recouped for Mac.
Yep.
But –
They destroyed the picks.
No,
I don't think Gruden was right. I think he was wrong. I think he traded away a player in the prime of his career. The guy right. went out there and, you know, and in 18, he was dynamic, you know, and, you know, the Raiders have been searching for a pass rusher. And he turned those picks into receivers, which didn't work.
Yeah.
You know, a typical John Gruden, you know, give me more receivers. Give me more juice, man. You know, don't worry about building. I mean, they don't even have a defensive tackle on their team this year. So, you know, I just think to me I wrote this in Gridiron Genius, so I'm not sitting here talking. I wrote it in the book. John Gruden doesn't understand how to team build. He never did. It's all about receivers. I mean, it's just like signing Kenyon Drake. You got Josh Day. How are we playing him? You draft the little Lynn Bowden from Kentucky in the third round. You don't even know what you're going to do with him.
Right.
Like it was malpractice all along, and people can blame Mayock, but Mayock was in a situation where he worked for Gruden. Gruden had all the authority.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and Mac was great. The first year he got to Chicago, he was dominant. So
it was, and it helped him get to the playoffs. Now, obviously, you know, it was challenging. You know, it was challenging, but you know, it was hard.
100%. So the Chargers, I'll just give you their number quickly, and. Of course, they're in that sweet spot with the rookie deal at quarterback. That's what helps them be able to do this, and the cap space continues to be pretty clean. Of course, the AFC West, the Chiefs are your favorite, still 115. The Broncos, 240, plus 240. The Chargers, plus 425, and the Raiders sitting at 10-1. So that is, I mean, we talked about it yesterday a little bit, but that is a brutal division.
It really is, and I mean, it's all going to come down to where you think Russell Wilson is going to be able to regenerate his career. I mean, it's not automatic slide in there. You know, we talked about it yesterday. How many first downs did he rush for last year? Yeah, that's one of his key parts of his game is the ability to run and run for first downs. He had 17 of them in 14 games. That's a little more than one a game. That's not enough. You know, when you're a little quarterback and you've got to get out of the way of people. I mean, look, he's 5'11". Let's face it. He's been dynamic. But I think they're going to have to. And I think the one thing, if you're a Denver fan, that you have to feel really good about. If I were John Schneider, I would have wanted Williams, the running back from North Carolina, in the deal. I would have wanted Surtain in the deal. I would have rather taken those players than taken the picks. Because, like, what are the picks going to do for me? Like, I don't know if I'm going to get good players with these picks. Like, if I know I got Williams, I got a good player. If I got Surtain, I got a good player.
Are you hearing any buzz what the Seahawks are potentially going to do at the position?
I have not heard that. I think they're going to be willing to do what they did the first time when they led themselves to Russell Wilson, is throw a lot of things at the position and see what sticks. I could see them being involved in everybody.
All right, there it is. Good stuff. Khalil Mack, 31 years old, big cap hit on his way to the Chargers, coming back to the Bears this year, a second rounder. Next year, a sixth rounder. Our buddy Sean King caused a storm on Twitter. We'll get Michael's take.
Oh, man, did he ever.
When we come back, we'll get his take.
People are yelling at me for it.
What'd you do?
He attached me. Yeah, he attached me.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, the KFC chicken sandwich is served hot and straight from the fryer. That's why it's finger-licking good. Order the KFC chicken sandwich today. Michael Lombardi there in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher here in Vegas. Hope you're enjoying the basketball as we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. I'll give you a quick update, and then we'll get to this Deshaun Watson tweet from our buddy Sean King. Okay, so Indiana right now up 54-51. A win puts them in the dance, no doubt, over Illinois. 7:02 to play in the second, Michael. And then you've got just underway in the second half after the break, A&M up 16, 37-21 over Auburn. I would think a win gets them in as well. Davidson, teams on the bubble want Davidson in the A-10 to continue to win, because Davidson would be an auto bid even if they don't win their conference tournament. And then you've got teams like Dayton and VCU. Like the A-10 is fascinating. When we were having the technical issues earlier today, I was going through that. I mean, if you look at it, Davidson's the best in the league. But St. Louis, St. Bonaventure, they can build a case. Obviously, Dayton can build a case to get in. VCU can build a case to get in. It's always a tough league, and this year it could certainly throw a wrench. If Davidson wins out.
St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean, St. Louis as well. Absolutely.
You know, they're 22-10. I mean, I was on a flight with them. I think they had just finished playing St. Joe's or somebody, and you know, no, I'm with you. I mean, Rhode Island fired their coach. I mean, it's a competitive conference. There's no doubt about it. And they've got really good teams in there. You know, Virginia Commonwealth and Dayton. I mean, it's really good.
Yeah, A-10's a very good conference. Absolutely. Okay, I teased it. Let's get to it. So a grand jury is going to hear evidence today. I'll just set this part up. In the case involving Deshaun Watson. So there are questions whether or not the Houston Texans, as far as and other teams, are going to have some clarity. A decision on the criminal charges could come as early as today. I bring that up to back up to a couple of days ago when our buddy Sean King got loose on Twitter, of course, does a great job, at Real Sean King. We'll throw up his tweet. He said, I'm hearing if things go well Friday, that's today, real time, Deshaun Watson to the Steelers is happening soon after. He then went on to tag Veasan. That was nice. Tim, nice. Aaron, nice. Bill A.D. Bill A.D. was just like, what? And then Michael Lombardi tagged. So
he threw me in the fire. What, and, you know, these Steelers happened? Fans, what I think he – well, I don't think he realizes. I mean, and I'm sure Sean has his sources, and I believe that he got that from someone really good, as we all try to do. But these Steelers fans now, you enter into that arena now. It's, you know, it's your – they're going to come after you. And, you know, and then we started to hear, and there's no way the Steelers would take anybody involved in these kind of situations, regardless of what happens Friday with the grand jury and all that. So, Sean, stick to your words. See what happens. We know they need a quarterback. And, look, they have will explore every single options. I don't know what will happen. I do know that there'll be a lot of there'll be a lot more clarity after today with this, what happens with the grand jury. I think that certainly will be the case. But I think what people were reacting to, and this is really important for fans to understand, there are certain criterias that clubs operate under. And it really becomes a good situation when it comes from the ownership, right? You know, I would always say to Jimmy Haslam, look, you tell me what you want. You know, if you want guys that have been caught smoking marijuana and that's all right with you, because obviously it was becoming legal, that's fine. We can handle that. I mean, if you say this is what we don't want, this is what we can't, I'm good. You just set the ground rules. And through those ground rules, you can develop the characteristics of the players. And so I think what people in Pittsburgh were attacking Sean was, is they believe that anything domestic violence related, or in this situation in a criminal court, the Steelers would just walk away and say no mas, saying that they're not interested. Same thing in Seattle. Same thing in Seattle. Seattle has always been under Pete Carroll. Anything involving domestic violence, they're going to take you off the draft board. It's one of the reasons why there were really only two teams going to draft Tyreek Hill. It was going to be the Raiders or the Chiefs. You know, and the Chiefs said, well, they did their due process through all that. Well, they did, and they obviously got a great player. A lot of teams were not going to take that based on the circumstances at Oklahoma State. He transferred to Akron. He couldn't get into Akron. He couldn't get into West Alabama because of the Oklahoma State situation. And yet the Chiefs were able to work their way through it. Whatever that is, that is. But certain teams would have said no. And I think that's what the Steelers fans were coming after Sean, based on what they believe their knowledge is of the front office and the ownership of the Steelers.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask you about 32 teams and the mission statement, kind of discerning between morality and legality, right, Michael? So every team's going to be a little bit different. When I think Steelers, I think Rooney's, and I think progressiveness. So I wonder, you know, obviously the Rooney Rule and a multitude of other progressive things that they've done in all their years in the league. So I wondered, you know, if a fit would be there for Deshaun Watson, but only you could answer that for me as far as how different teams answer that discernment between morality and legality.
Well, there's two kind of characters, right? And so that's what you're really trying to nail down to. Football character, how do you define that? And character off the field, how do you define that? You know, one of the things that I think EP fans don't realize oftentimes is sometimes players that don't have great work habits, you know, you ding their character. And sometimes players that don't have great competitiveness, you don't ding their character. But one thing we learned through my career in the National Football League is work habits and competitiveness are subjective. One thing we know is we can change work habits. We can't change competitiveness, right? So the guy that practices Monday through Saturday and practices really well, but on Sunday doesn't compete, that guy's character in terms of football is not going to be very good. The guy that doesn't work hard Monday through Saturday but competes like crazy on Sunday, it's a problem, but we can fix it. But we can work our way through it. Now, how do you define the character, right? So that's what has to be done with your systems and protocols within your organization. And that typically needs to come from the owner. That needs to come from somebody who's rock solid, who's not going to change. If it comes from the coach, it can become a little bit of a gray area. And so I think those are the rules and regulations, just like we talk about, look, you know, Calvin Ridley, you're not allowed to gamble. That's the rules of the league. Okay, great. You do it, you're out. You just got to know that. You do it, you're out. And it's the same thing. All teams have to define character within their own system.
I want to throw up the tweet one more time because I have a question for you. So admittedly, I'm not well-versed with Twitter. I know how to star things, and I know how to retweet them. So when Michael does something, I'll hit the star or I'll retweet it. That's my extent of Twitter. But here's what I need to ask of you. When Sean is throwing this out, and give him a follow, at Real Sean King, I understand he works for VSiN, that's up there. His teammate there is Tim Murray, that's up there. Producer, Aaron. Here's where it gets interesting. He throws Bill AD into the mix, yeah. And then all of a sudden, he says, you know what? I'm not done. I'm going to bring my boy M. Lombardi NFL into the mix here on this tweet. Help me understand the process there.
I don't know. I didn't talk to Sean, but look, if he wants to throw it, look, as I said to many people on Twitter, I've been yelled at by Al Davis. And when you've been yelled at by Al Davis, there's nothing on Twitter that I can't handle. Like, it's not going to scare me at all. So if you want to throw me under the bus, I'll take one for the team with you, Sean. Me and Bill AD, we'll join hands and we'll walk down the aisle and we'll take it. If it comes to be true, you know, we'll sing your praises. But look, I mean, the reality of it is someone told Sean, and look, a lot of players like Sean, you know, Rich Gannon, guys that know what's going on in the league, they get information. They
Absolutely.
Get it from pretty good people. And so, you know, they're just sharing what they get. Don't attack the messenger. Don't attack them, you know. And so just because it doesn't come from Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport or Jay Glenn, it doesn't mean it's not out there, you know.
No,
and so
absolutely.
It's like, look, I've heard many times that one of the biggest issues with Russ, with Let Me Cook Russell, is he wasn't very good in the locker room. You know, it became an untenable situation for them. It became very challenging for them. And so you could easily say they're dumb for getting rid of him, but they have reasons for getting rid of him. And unless you're willing to respect those reasons or listen to them, you can't. Now, everybody's in a panic because they think that the Denver Broncos made this great trade. Well, you better work it backwards. That's why I wrote the column. Like, look at it closer. Look at it closer. Look at what the Bears did to get rid of Khalil Mack. They took on a huge cap liability in a system where the head coach is a defensive coach who wants rushers from the edges. And they're willing to take on this huge cap hit. That tells you a lot. It doesn't tell you that Mac's going to be a bust. It just tells you you need to do a lot more work than just declaring the Chargers made the greatest trade ever.
No, and Sean does a great job, obviously, had a tremendous career, and he's got connections. What I just found so funny was thinking about Bill AD as he's moving rooms from the D to Circa with his hands full of all his clothes, and he's moving on to the next room.
I don't know how the man does it.
It should be a documentary. It should be a documentary. But he got an alert.
He should teach a course on how to pack. I think I would take it. Like, how do you pack? I mean, yeah, how do you pack sensibly that you can carry it all? I mean, it's incredible.
So when you go to VSiN.com and you check out your new articles and you check out Greg Hoops Peterson, we could have Bill AD talking about minimalism.
There you go. And I think we should have Matt Eumanns going to every single fast food place that he likes. I think there would be I think he would put Guy Fieri out of business.
Trust me, I think he's got that covered. I think he's going to do that whether or not he's writing about it at VSiN.com. Josh is next here at Lombardi Line.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, if you want to get in shape but you're having trouble staying motivated, make 5-hour energy shots part of your lifestyle and get the energy boost you need to get fit. It's got zero sugar and an unbeatable blend of vitamins, nutrients, and caffeine. It's the perfect pick-me-up for those getting stuff done. Go to 5hourenergy.com to find over 15 flavors to choose from, with flavors like grape, my favorite, tropical burst, cherry, blue raspberry, and more. There is a flavor for everyone. Get over 5hourenergy.com. Get over there right now. Okay, we got you back here, Lombardi Line. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VEASAN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi, of course, in Jersey. Looking up, Michael, Indiana. This one's going back and forth. Has just taken the lead against Illinois. Again, hate to repeat myself, but Indiana wins. They're going to be in. Texas A&M absolutely killing Auburn right now. 13:42 to play in the second, up 15 over Auburn. So, again, that bodes well. And you've got a 21-point lead for Davidson over Fordham. Fordham with an upset over George Mason yesterday. But Davidson looks like they're going to advance in the A-10 as we get you going here on the Lombardi Line. Okay, Josh joins us. And I know Josh has got a pick from the A-10. Josh Applebaum, Market Insights, betting across America. Hi, Josh. Let's get a market update as we start off here. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Patrick, Michael, first off, Michael, where's your catcher's mitt? Have you busted it out? Are you ready for baseball? That's my first question today.
You know, I'm not quite ready for it yet, but I'll start working on it. It was my first thought. You know, I know I need to get my arm loose, and I got to kind of get my shin guards on and get ready to go because we got to come. But we still got to get through free agency, right? I mean, aren't we going to go through a little period of free agency with baseball because they haven't really done anything? So we'll start to see teams kind of move players around in contracts. So I'll get there eventually. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be condensed. They're going to get 162 in, which is the good news. Those for purists.
How are they doing that? How are they going to do that?
They're going first off, you mentioned free agency. They've got to ratify and make sure they get all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. And then free agency is going to begin. It's voluntary to report to spring training today. Mandatory on the 13th, Josh. And then I believe next week, opening day, I mean, everything's happening within like a 7-day period.
It really is. Wow. It's crazy. And again, I know we got to get to college. Yeah. But real quick, guys, one thing, you know, I'm looking at maybe some offense early. The fact that pitchers have to ramp up so quickly, it takes pitchers kind of longer, you know, to kind of get loosened out. Whereas, you know, you look at also these position players a little bit quicker for the hitting. And also you're going to get rid of kind of those early, like, you know, 30 degree day, late March, early April days. So maybe it benefits offense. But I'm with Michael. You know, where does Trevor Story go? A bunch of these free agents, you know, Correa, you got to keep an eye on that before you start.
Let me just correct myself. April 7th opening day, but they've got spring training beginning next week. So in like 6 days, spring training gets going, which, you know, Michael, imagine running a front office with that much packed into ratifying the deal, the new CBA, and then all of a sudden, okay, who's available? I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
I hope they keep the rosters kind of robust early part of the season so teams don't overuse the players who really haven't had a whole time to kind of get themselves ready for a season. Because, you know, baseball, you got to get your legs in shape. There's a lot of things going on, and I think it kind of would be best, like the NFL has been able to do during COVID, is to allow these rosters a little bit more flexibility to keep more players available for call.
Well, I'm sure it'll be amiable because both sides get along so well. They can't wait to get away from each other. I think that's why they got the deal done. Okay, Josh, let's get us set up. We've been talking about the exciting action going on right now. Where are you starting?
Yeah, so let's start with St. Louis, St. Bonaventure, guys. Kind of one of your big games coming up here, 2:30 p.m. Eastern time game. I'm looking at St. Bonaventure on the money line. This is a bit intriguing to me because, you know, a lot of these books actually open at a pick 'em, or even you had some shops, St. Louis -1. Yet you're seeing this line flip all the way dog to favorite toward the Bonnies -1.5. So in these spots, I kind of like to be with the sharp move, but also go money line here on the off chance that you get a buzzer beater or a backdoor cover or something crazy to bring it a little bit closer. Now, what's funny is, you guys know me, I'm a guy who loves KenPom. This is not a KenPom edge. KenPom has actually St. Louis winning by 3, but if there's one thing that I've learned looking at KenPom in the market, I want them to be in agreement. And if the market is doing one thing but KenPom saying the other, to me, the market kind of overrules a KenPom play because basically the people who are moving these numbers know KenPom, Bart Torbeck, all these other ones. So I like this move toward the Bonnies guys. It's also kind of a bad ATS, good ATS play. You have the Bonnies only 12-16 against the spread. People who have bet them this year have not won much money. Whereas you look at St. Louis, they made a lot of money for bettors, 19-11 ATS. But again, I want to bet against a team that's overvalued and covers a lot, bet on the team with the line move who hasn't covered as much. And by the way, you do have the Bonnies 2-0 this year against St. Louis. They beat them 68-61, beat them 83-79. So again, our guy Ken Palm is not with us here, but I'm going to go with the market. Give me St. Bonaventure, dog to favorite, minus 125 money line for the Bonnies.
I mean, don't you think, though, when they beat a team twice? I mean, they beat them on a Friday, and then they beat them on a Monday, home and away, and they came back, and now they got them in here. So, I mean, St. Louis has yet to prove that they can beat the Bonnies. That would be worrying me a little bit. I think past performance predicts future achievement, you know, and I think St. Bonnies is one of those teams that you know, you better, you know, they usually play well this time of the year. So that would be my only concern, Josh, is when you see it, you know, and you feel like they've played them before, especially a close period. And it isn't like St. Bonnie's not playing well right now. I mean, their offense is really good. Not as good as St. Louis. St. Louis is a really good offensive team.
My concern would be Josh Applebaum cheating on Ken Pomeroy. That is that is a major...
It's a violation of the decree.
I don't know who I am. This is not me, Patrick. I don't know what's going on.
You're not allowed to do that.
You're not allowed to do that. A game we're all looking forward to. I know Michael is with the must bus. Less than an hour from tip here, LSU, Arkansas, SEC. Both teams in the dance, Josh. Arkansas open 1. This can help with seeding, obviously. Had been bet up to 3. I actually saw 3.5 get up there, but then we've now come back to Arkansas laying 3 here with LSU.
Yeah, great point by you, Patrick. Again, it did get to 3.5 and then get 3.5. You had a little LSU money with the hook, bring it back down to 3. But based on the opener, all movement has been pretty big here toward Arkansas. Some of these books open as low as, you know, -1, -1.5. Razorbacks here got steamed up pretty high again to 3.5 to me. As you mentioned, Patrick, that was probably the highest water mark where they said just, hey, there's value to buying low on LSU. But if you look at back toward yesterday, there was a game Colorado State. Where they had kind of a really similar move like this where the dog ended up covering, but if you money line them, you ended up winning. So I'm going to money line this one again here, Arkansas guys. You're shopping around. It's a little high. It's minus 155, but a couple things you like here. Arkansas, much better in conference play, 13-5 versus 99 LSU. We talked about the Bonnies having St. Louis's number. Arkansas has had LSU's number. They're 2-0 this year against LSU, beat them 65-58 and 77-76. You're also kind of buying low. Arkansas is coming off a loss, whereas LSU is coming off 2 straight wins. So this move is pretty meaningful to Arkansas. Typically, I don't want to be on the, you know, ranked team laying points here. But to me, when these markets are so efficient and almost like, you know, NFL playoffs, it takes a lot of respected money to move these numbers. The books have a lot of data on these teams. I can't deny that move toward Arkansas. So I'll go with the Razorbacks here, minus 155 on the money line.
Yeah, I'm a Hog fan big time, but this is going to be a hard, hard game for Arkansas. To beat a team as good as LSU 3 times in a row, I'm shocked the money's going towards Arkansas, because if you watch the last time they played, Arkansas got bailed out. Note got fouled over on the opposing sideline away from the bench, and, you know, they might have lost that game. So I think this is going to be a hard, hard fought game. I think you're right, Josh, to go with the money line, because I think this is going to be a one-point game one way or the other. I just feel like LSU is playing their best right now in terms of in this tournament, and they know they can come together with the talent that they have. They are really a talented basketball team.
Yeah, they really – that's a great matchup. I can't wait for that game. Let's go American Athletic. You know, some of these teams like SMU, who is kind of on the bubble, I look at the conference tournaments even – I don't know if I put more weight into them, but, Michael, hear me out for a second. Once these teams get in the dance, I'm not saying there's an emotional letdown, but that's everything for them, right? And so, as far as SMU and Tulsa later today, SMU, as I mentioned, on the bubble, like these conference tournaments with the familiarity and with that – want to get to the tournament as opposed to feeling accomplished and getting there, it adds to your handicapping as well.
No doubt. I mean, and look, Tulsa is, I think if you're SMU, you got to keep playing at a high level to continue to improve, to get ready for the next level, you know. Yep. And when you're playing a team like Tulsa, which is so bad defensively, you know, you've got to take advantage of that. And, you know, Tulsa's inability to really stop anybody with any consistency has got to give you – like, we got to go out there and beat this team. Because the one thing I do know is it happens in any sport is your defense is going to set the agenda for how well you play come most important time, playoff time. Last night with the Nets, their defense set the agenda. They set the table with their defense.
Yep. Totally agree. Josh, we got under a minute. Tulane Temple, you've got a play here. Tulane's laying a point and a half up to two at a couple of books.
Yeah, sticking here in the AAC, Patrick, I'm going to go Tulane in this one. So a lot of these books open around a pick 'em. Even some shops are minus one Temple. It's a similar kind of that to that St. Louis play with St. Bonnie's, where St. Louis, you know, pick 'em or a St. Louis small favorite going to the Bonnie's. This one is Temple short favorite or pick 'em going to Tulane. So it's kind of 50-50. Public doesn't know what to do. But Tulane now has had this move in their favor. KenPom's got him by two. So, Patrick, maybe he'll bring me back in now that I'm with him on this one. But give me Tulane here on the money line.
I like to see you two getting along is really what it comes down to, Josh. All right, Betting Across America coming up later. Plenty more picks from Josh. And, of course, Market Insights is the pod. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, guys. See you Sunday.
Amari Cooper is trending. I'll tell Michael Lombardi why next here in Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. So every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM reward points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? That's a question I'm asking you. If you are, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM reward points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts. Those properties are located here in Vegas and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyal program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager over at BetMGM.com or on the app. Sign up now for BetMGM.com or log into the app and get gambling. Okay? It's 1-800-GAMBLER if you do have an issue. So, Michael Lombardi, it is final as in real time right now, 65-63, Indiana has beaten Illinois in the Big Ten Conference Tournament. That means Illinois is going to be dancing, which is fascinating because tough losses to Rutgers and a tough loss to Purdue, a tough loss, I'm thinking, at Ohio State for Indiana down the stretch. This is a huge win. Mike Woodson there with that program. This is huge for Indiana to get into the dance.
Okay, so my question to you is, put your Joe Lunardi hat on here, like, how many of these Big Ten teams are we taking? Like, how many are we taking? Are we taking everybody? Is everybody coming up? Come on. I mean, Rutgers is supposed to be in. Ohio State. I mean, who's getting out?
We got Purdue like, in.
Taking them all? Illinois won Illinois's in. Wisconsin's in. Purdue's in. Iowa's in.
State's in.
Everybody says Michigan's in, Michigan State's in, now Indiana. I mean, how many are we going to take? Why don't we just make it the Big Ten tournament?
You know, Michigan is the one, and I know you're down on Michigan. I am as well after that squandering the 17-point lead yesterday against that Indiana team we just saw. Their quad one and two resume is pretty good, but –
But they're 17 and 14. Like, how do you go in? Look, I get they play a tough level. I mean, we're sitting here saying A&M, you know, has to beat Auburn today to get in, you know, and they're up by, I think, 17 points with under 9 minutes to go. But like, they're not even in, but yet we're going to let Michigan in at 17 and 14. Like, I get, you know, that they had the 8-game losing streak. I understand. I just don't get I don't understand how it comes across.
And historically, for an at-large bid, you got to be about 4 games above 500, 17 and 14. Last time I checked, it's 3 games above 500. So Michigan, listen, it's going to be agonizing come Selection Sunday, that's for sure, for Michigan, but a huge win for Indiana, and they advance onto the semis in the Big Ten tournament.
I mean, KenPom has Indiana as the 43rd best team in his numbers. He's got Michigan at 34. He's got Ohio State at 33. So I guess he's going to take them too. I don't know.
And they have, let's just say, oh my gosh, all my friends, Indiana fans are texting like crazy right now. A lot of F-bombs, as what I can report officially. A lot of excited F-bombs from Indiana. And the Big Ten has not performed overly well in the tournament over the past couple of years. So I think a lot of people would like to see less Big Ten teams, to your point. Let's get Michigan out of there. Let's just we'll call it right now. We'll get Michigan out of there and let a smaller conference team get in the mix.
My only point is, if Indiana comes in, shouldn't Michigan go out? Like, why are they bringing both of them in? I'm not saying Indiana doesn't belong, but I don't understand how Michigan comes in and there's no, you know, somebody, you come in, somebody's got to go out, you know?
Absolutely. You got right now, we've got about 11 minutes. Iowa Rutgers. There's another one. Rutgers, the team, if you want to call them out. I got Rutgers in. I've got both Lenardi and Palm with Rutgers in, even with a loss today to Iowa. But again, you can argue that one. Michigan State's in after a win last night that wasn't pretty towards the end against Maryland. Maryland, of course, out. And then you've got Penn State and Purdue coming up later tonight. Purdue obviously in. So, yeah, I mean, that's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, potentially 8-bid league.
Eight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems I agree.
I just think to me, one in, one out. You know, there's got to be kind of a replacement here a little bit. So anyway, I'm not against the Big Ten. I am not. I mean, but I think to me that we're going to take 8 teams from the Big Ten. I just don't understand Michigan at 17-14. They're not 4 games above 500. They got beat. I mean, I could see if they won the tournament and they played well in the tournament, like A&M's playing well in their tournament.
You know who's going to be in the committee? You can hear the committee on Sunday as they debate Michigan. They're going to look to this Indiana win over Illinois and say that becomes a better loss for Michigan. You know, so if you
how is that possible?
Think about it. Michigan, who blew
a 17. Whoever's the chalk last wins, that's a better loss for Michigan. Yeah, I mean, I love it. Look, I'm not anti-Michigan. I mean, I thought they would play Georgia better in the ball. I'm not anti-Michigan at all. I'm trying to wrap my arms around the logic that goes through this.
Yeah.
You know, and in this bracketology world that we live in.
Hey, you know what? It's a good gig to have if you're Lenardi or Palm, because it's kind of like the weatherman. You don't really have to be right, because you can say, you know, you don't have to be right. And so there's,
yeah, I mean, if you missed it by get smart that much, it's all good, you know.
That's 100% right. All right, I teased Amari Cooper. So Edwarder tweeted this not too long ago. So I'm hearing, it's interesting, because originally we thought the Cowboys were going to release Amari Cooper. Then they said they were going to trade him. And now it appears they're trying to salvage a relationship with him. So Edwarder said this about the Cowboys. 3 players from a Cowboy source. DeMarcus Lawrence isn't going anywhere. Team is still working on Amari Cooper options while hoping a new contract for Michael Gallup is soon finished. Teams that are interested, I've got a report that the Browns are super interested in Amari Cooper. What is happening with Amari Cooper? We've almost reported it like he's already been released by the Cowboys, but he's still in the mix there.
Well, we've reported accurately that they don't want to pay $60 million over the next 3 years. I mean, that's accurate. So much of the conversations in March and April have everything to do with about teams not wanting to pay money or players not wanting to accept the salary. And I think what Dallas did is they came out and probably had conversations with Cooper about perhaps taking less money. He said, no way, you know, and next thing you know, he's, you know, maybe he's realized that market out there at $20 million isn't there for him. Okay.
Right.
So maybe it's now time to come back to Jerry. As I said before, nothing says I'm sorry better than money. Right. Nothing says that better than money. And so, you know, I think just listening to what Ed reported, who's wired into Dallas. I mean, there's nobody more wired into Dallas than Ed Werner. And so, you know, they're probably going to say, look, we owe you $60 million over 3 years. You know, you didn't play at that level. We'll give you 15 for 4. We'll give you 15 for 3 and $5 million. And I don't know, you know, kind of that way. And I think that's the same thing with Lawrence is he's not going to go anywhere. I mean, they need him, but they also need to sign Randy Gregory. So they need to be able to move some things around. And knowing Jerry at where he is in his life, I would suspect that he's probably going to do what he has to do to keep this team intact as much as he can this season.
And if you believe the reports out there, Jerry Jones's roster just got bigger this week too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I heard that. I read that, yes.
Sorry, it was way too easy.
I like how you worked that in there.
Thank you. That was not cool. That was not cool, but it is in the news. Anyway, Cooper, yeah. His value.
Cooper's not a $20 million
receiver. No, that's what I'm asking you.
The reality of it all is he didn't play at the level. I mean, one of the reasons the Raiders wanted to move on from him is they felt he didn't love football. They felt like he wasn't just completely enamored with the sport. He's talented. He's uniquely talented, but he doesn't have that great, great competitive fiber that they felt. And then when he went to Dallas, he's a flash player. He shows it to you, but not all the time. And there's games where he goes missing. I mean, you got to call John Walsh on America's – I mean, he goes missing. You don't know where the hell he is in the game. And they disguise it as, well, he's getting covered. But then when you watch the tape, he's in single coverage. So I think there's some concern. I mean, they overpaid the player. There's no doubt. And that's what we're seeing now is there is now a recalibration of players in the league that didn't play well, that didn't match their salary, and now teams want to get some kind of return back, and this is the system that we're in, I think
the Eagles, by the way,
what we're seeing.
The Eagles, just this 4 days ago, I don't have updated odds, but the Eagles were your favorite to get Amari at +140. The New England Patriots are 2.5 to 1. In the Jets.
That's ridiculous. Like, there's no way Bill Belichick's paying $20 million a year to anybody.
So you can throw that one out.
Like, unless Amari's going to take a pay cut, there's no way he's walking in there at $20 million a year. He's got cap issues right now he's got to get below. Do I think they're interested in a receiver? Yeah, I'm sure they are. They want to improve that. They know they need to get bigger, more explosiveness. Aguilar, would they be willing to move on from him? Yeah. Do they cut him? I doubt it. It's too much. They got to guarantee him this year anyway. So, Bourne's been a good player, but I think ultimately to pay $20 million, there's no chance of that happening.
Just like to formally apologize to Jerry Jones. That was not cool. Not on the way out like that. Not on a great day of college basketball. I apologize, Jerry.
Let's see if A&M can hold on here today, Patrick.
They're going to hold on, and we will be here tomorrow morning, Michael. I'll see you then, okay? Enjoy your Friday.
See you, it's down to 9.
There it is.